Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. In just a moment, Daniel Seckham will be joining us on today's radio broadcast. Welcome. I want to begin the broadcast by just giving you the title of where we're going today, and it is Killing Them Softly. Is it possible that the coronavirus has been weaponized to reduce the population of the sick and elderly around the world? It's a question. Well, the same question could be asked about 9/11/2001. Was 9/11/2001 another control agenda of the elite to take away the rights of privacy from the citizens of the world? And the question today is, how do 5G towers play into this recent uptick of global elite control? And so we're glad you're with us today. We're going to begin right there. But I want to start with Isaiah chapter 57. Out of the scriptures, verse 1, Isaiah chapter 57 is where I'd like to bring some scripture thought today. The righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He, the righteous man, shall enter into peace. They, the righteous men and women, shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Verse 3, but draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. I want to stop for just a minute and consider what the prophet Isaiah is writing here. Draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress. The word sorceress there is the Anan. And the word Anan actually means to cloud over or to cover or to act covertly or to practice magic or to be a soothsayer. It also talks about the spiritism or witchcraft. And so here we have a scripture that's talking about the sons of the sorceress. The sorceress sounds like a woman that practices witchcraft. It sounds like Jezebel, the mother witch. It sounds like mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It sounds like these are the sons of the great mother of all witchcraft, okay? And then it talks about them being the seed of the adulterer. And you know what the word adulterer is. It's the na'af, and it simply means to apostatize. That's what it is figuratively in the Hebrew. It is to apostatize, or a woman that breaks wedlock. And so we're talking about a mystery, Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, one that breaks wedlock or covenant, one that apostatizes. And then, of course, it says that she is also the whore. And the word whore there is the zana. And the word zana, it's a little bit, it means to commit adultery. It also means to commit idolatry. The Jewish people being regarded as the spouse of Jehovah. Well, that's very interesting that the Jewish people were in covenant with Yahweh God. The prophet Jeremiah said they had committed adultery. Israel had committed adultery. They were actually the ones that played the harlot, the whore. What is this, committing fornication? Are we talking about those that were once believers? Are we talking about a nation, perhaps? Consider the United States, once a Christian nation, coming under the spell of Jezebel or the great mother harlot, mystery Babylon the Great, becoming the sons of the adulteress and the whore? Well, what about these people? It says in Isaiah 57:4, against whom do ye sport yourselves? So here's the question coming from the great throne of heaven. Against whom do you sport yourselves? And that word sport there, let's take a look at it real quick. That is the anag, the anag. You means who do you become soft or pliable or effeminate or luxurious? Again, the luxury of Babylon, the effeminacy. Here we go again. It talks about the demasculation, and this is really tough. Demasculation, listen to the spirit now that we're going to talk about here for just a moment. Demasculating, causing an effeminacy, making soft, okay, being part of that luxury type of idea. Well, it's interesting that at West Point right now, West Point cadets, what goes on? You know, West Point, where we train up courageous men of God or courageous men to defend the nation. Do you know that they're literally taking away the idea of being overly masculine, and they are actually promoting a softening? Tony Perkins has this article. I'm going to ask Patricia to read it in just a little bit when she comes on the air for a moment. Well, who are these that sport themselves? Okay, who's doing all this? It sounds to me like when you read the article that the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah has taken root, and what's ready to happen in the 2020 elections is going to be very intense. But against whom make ye a wide mouth? Who's he talking about? The sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer, and the whore. Okay, this is Babylon's children. This is Jezebel's kids. This is mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, children. Who are you opening your mouth wide against and drawing out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Who are these people? They are the seed of Satan. It says in verse 6 that they are among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Talks about the higher ups and governmental powers or this type of thing. And so before going any further, I just want to summarize what we're saying here. Who is this sorceress? And who are the children of the sorceress? Who are the sons of adultery and the whore? It's the people that are controlling things around the world today, falsifying the balances. It is those that are into witchcraft and sorcery and covering like a cloud, trickery, propaganda. See, there's something going on in the world today, and it's obvious that you're witnessing these events all over the world. And you need to know who it is, who's behind it. It's Satan, ultimately, The powers of darkness are operating against the souls of men, captivating the souls of men, possessing the souls of men, operating through the souls of men, establishing that which is ungodly. Well, all of this is happening before our very eyes right now. And again, I'm waiting for Daniel. I haven't seen him on our YouTube yet, but I see him on the telephone line. So let me welcome him into the broadcast right now. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. Despite a small technical difficulty, I've got no idea why I cannot connect to StreamYard. So it's a bit weird.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But you're loud and clear on the radio right now, talking about Isaiah. Yeah. So go ahead. It's late for you. You're at 2 o'clock in the morning. Speak to the body of Christ. There's a lot going on.
Well, I'm actually at 1 o'clock in the morning now, since you guys have gone on to.
Yeah.
So you guys have gone on to daylight savings now, and I'm
yes.
so relieved. I'm so relieved.
You sound spry. Yeah. 1 o'clock in the morning is much better than 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. A wholehearted amen to that. So,
amen.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit more sprightly. So we were talking about a scripture verse. So we're talking about
Isaiah 57.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the sorceress, and we're talking about the sons of adultery and the seed of adultery, the seed of the whore. To me, that's sounding much like Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth, and Jezebel all combined. The mother witch of all witchery is putting out her spell over the nations of the earth right now, and all this propaganda and trickery with coronavirus, 5G towers, 9/11. We can go back, and there's so much deception. Is it time for the cover to hold back, Daniel? What do you think?
Gosh, I think it's becoming more and more progressively apparent, I would say. What I think is interesting is that we need to look into the scripture in Zechariah, chapter 7. Zechariah actually talks about the woman in the basket in Zechariah chapter 5. And in Zechariah chapter 5, it says this, and this will tie in actually with Isaiah 57 and also with Jeremiah 50 and 51. But it says here in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Then the angel who was speaking to me came forward and said to me, 'Look up and see what is appearing.' I asked, 'What is it?'" And it's interesting. He says, "What is appearing?" Zechariah says, "I asked, 'What is it?' He replied, 'It is a basket.' And he added, 'This is the iniquity of the people throughout the land.'" Okay, the basket, this is the iniquity of the people throughout the land. Then the cover of lead was raised, and there in the basket sat a woman. He said, "This is wickedness." And he pushed her back into the basket and pushed its lead cover down on it. And then I looked up, and there before me were two women, with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like those of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel who was speaking to me. He replied, "To the country of Babylonia to build a house for it. When the house is ready, the basket will be set there in place." When the house is ready, the basket will be set there in place. Now, you need to keep in mind, Zechariah actually wrote this after they were exiled to Babylon. So Zechariah wrote this while he was a returned exile. Okay, he was a returned person who came back from exile. So this hasn't got anything to do with prophesying about, anything to do from pre-exilic context. This is talking about a future context. And, you know, when you think about that woman and how he, they basically, it was said that this woman represents wickedness. This is wickedness. And he pushed her back into the basket and pushed this lead cover on it. But what did the basket represent? Well, the basket represented the iniquity of the people throughout the land. And who was causing that iniquity? Well, there was a woman that was causing that iniquity. Now, fast forward to Revelation 17. We have a woman who was causing iniquity and wickedness. In fact, she actually sits on seven hills. And that doesn't mean a literal seven hills, as some people interpret those hills. But what I think is interesting is that at the end of Zechariah 17, it says that the places where the prostitute sits, and you know, just let me bring this up for a minute.
Yeah, it's interesting. In Revelation 17, she actually sits on a beast on the mountain, and she sits. You know, she sits on the many waters. So three places in the book of Revelation 17, she's sitting as a power over nations, et cetera, et cetera. She's a, by the way, Zechariah chapter 5, this woman of wickedness, she's a real basket case, isn't she?
Some might say that. Some who have a better sense of humor than me would say that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's get serious again. So we're seeing this woman in Isaiah 57, and she's the sorceress. She's the adulterer. She's the whore. Goes back to Babylon, and there's a lot of thought about Babylon in Genesis 10 and 11, that Nimrod's mother, you know, there's a lot of thought about that. Now you're fast forward all the way to Zechariah, the woman with wickedness, and then here we are in Revelation 17.
Yes. It says that the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. So it represents the nations, you know, and again, there's a correlation in regard to the first thing that's actually written on this woman's forehead in Revelation 17, and that is Babylon the Great. I think there is a direct correlation between the woman that we see in Zechariah 5 and the woman that we see here in Revelation 17. In fact, it seems to imply that this particular woman, or the spirit of the prostitute, has been in existence from way back, in very much the same way that John says that the spirit of Antichrist is already exists in the world today. So, I believe that we're going to see that woman that was in that basket that was carried to Babylon. I believe that the Babylon that it is referring there is to the future Babylon in regard to the mystery Babylon that is to come. And I think it plays in quite beautifully in regard to what we see here in Revelation 17. And also, too, in regard to when you read in Isaiah 57 as well. So, but then you read in Revelation 18, and it says that fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons, blah, 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 blah. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries, and the kings of the earth committed adultery with her. And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her luxuries. Mm-hmm. And it says elsewhere that this particular woman had actually led the entire world astray. That she had led the entire world astray. It says, by your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. So it's talking about, and then it goes on to say, in her was found the blood of prophets and of the God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered in the earth. Now, what is the spirit that particularly targets the Jewish people? What is the spirit that targets God's people? Not just the Jewish people, but also Christians, godly people, people who stand for God, God's people. what is that spirit? And what I would say, it is the ancient spirit of paganism that we see. And we are seeing a great revival of paganism. And that pretty much essentially sums up the first word that's written on the prostitute's forehead in Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon the Great. In other words, what it's saying here, it's going to be the Babylon of all Babylons. In other words, the pagan civilization out of all pagan civilizations. And really, you really don't have to try and stretch this in order to apply to what we're already seeing. I mean, my goodness, when you look at Europe, what has happened to Europe, and you look what is happening to America, there is a revival of paganism that is sweeping across the United States and sweeping across Australia. All the previous practices that we saw being practiced by pagan civilizations are all happening right now. In fact, they're not only being practiced openly, they are being celebrated and encouraged. So I think it's interesting. Now, one other thing too that plays into with what you are mentioning in regard to Isaiah 57, Vincent, is also the second name that's written on that woman's forehead, and that says that it says the mother of all prostitutes. And this is interesting because here in Isaiah 57, it mentions this. It says, but you come here, you children of the sorceress, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. And it says, whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer? Stick out your tongue. Are you not a brood of rebels and the offspring of liars? So what is interesting is whenever you see prostitute or harlotry or anything along those lines mentioned in the prophetic text, I'm not talking about in the other writings that we see, you know, I'm not talking about what we find in historical books or anything like that. In the prophetic text, so in the major prophets and the minor prophets, whenever you find the word prostitute or harlot or prostitution or harlotry, it is always referring to a nation that once knew the truth and then turned their back on it. A nation that once walked with the Lord and was innocent and was pure to the Lord, but then was seduced into sin and turned their back and chased after the nations. And that's pretty much essentially what that means. Now, what is interesting, Vincent, is that I mean, we know it's pretty obvious that when you look at the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, they were likened to prostitutes by Ezekiel. You might remember Ohila and Oholibah, the two prostitutes that was a fairly kind of like sexually explicit description of the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel as prostitutes. But there are actually two Gentile descriptions of a prostitute. And the first one that you find is actually you actually find it as the city of Nineveh. God actually describes the city of Nineveh as a prostitute in the book of Nahum. Now, did Nineveh used to be a righteous city before Nahum called it a prostitute? And the answer is yes, because God sent Jonah to that city approximately 140 years previously and called them to repentance, and they did repent, which I thought is very, very, very interesting. Now, another thing that the other nation that is a Gentile nation that is called a prostitute is actually in... Hang on, let's see if I can find this. Here we go. Is actually found in Isaiah. So in Isaiah 23, you find this. It says, at the end of the 70 years, the Lord will deal with Tyre. and she will return to her lucrative prostitution and ply her trade with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And by the way, this is, sorry, Tyre is actually a city. It goes on to say, yet her profit and her earnings will be set apart from the Lord, and they will not be stored up or hoarded. Her profits will go to those who live before the Lord for abundant food and fine clothing. Now, did Tyre, this is the Tyre of, which is actually north of Israel in Lebanon, did that ever used to be a righteous city? And the answer is yes, it did. It did used to be a righteous city. In fact, if you look at, I think it's actually in, just trying to think, I think it's Hiram. You might be able to help me with this, Vincent. The king of Lebanon, who actually was friends with Solomon, and actually used to and sent cedar logs down to Solomon. I just
was that Hiram? Was that Hiram?
Yes, I think you're right.
Think it's a good guess. Right. If nothing else.
In fact, you got it. You hit the nail right on the head. You
got it was Hiram.
It was Hiram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now Hiram was actually a righteous king. He was a righteous king. In fact, you can actually find in the scriptures where he's actually praying to the where he prays to the Lord. And so he was a good, righteous king, and he had a very good relationship with Solomon. And both Lebanon Lebanon itself was really a righteous nation while it was under Hiram. But what happened? Well, as we saw with what happened to Nineveh, Tyre at that fell into wickedness. It turned away from the Lord. And there we actually have the rebuke. In fact, this is exactly also what Ezekiel says when it says, where you see how God rebukes the wicked king of Tyre as an allegory of Satan that you see. I think it's in Ezekiel 28 where it says, you were perfect in all of your ways until wickedness was found within you. So, yeah, it is interesting. So, again, the rule remains that in regard to the word prostitution and in regard to the word harlotry, in all cases throughout Scripture, it's always referring to a nation that once knew the truth but then turned their back. Now, if that was true of nations previously that were righteous and they had a limited revelation in regard to God, what about nations that actually have even less excuse? What about nations that were actually founded upon Christianity itself, that were intimate with Christianity, and that they had Christianity even written into the constitution and founding documents? What about those nations? Well, that would make them an even greater prostitute, that they could actually be so successful and so incredibly powerful. In fact, there is no other example, you know, that you can see apart from, well, we saw that the Roman Empire, when that became Christian. But, you know, in many ways, it can be argued that America is like a remnant left over from the Roman Empire. So it is interesting that God wrath is even more severe, and this is a principle that you find right throughout Scripture, that nations that have less excuse are judged much more harshly. Now remember what Jesus said about Capernaum. You know he said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for you. Why is that the case? Why does Capernaum get judged more severely than Sodom and Gomorrah? Because Capernaum had Jesus walking in its midst. Okay? They had the privilege. They had truth up close and personal. they basically had the word, the living revelation, and so preached to them. And so they had even less excuse than Sodom and Gomorrah did. So again, it just goes to show, and this is why it's so key in understanding those three words, you know, those three names that are written on the prostitute's head. The first one being Babylon the Great, the Babylon of all Babylons. In other words, it's going to be a pagan empire out of all pagan empires. Secondly, it's going to be a prostitute. In fact, it's going to be the mother of all prostitutes. It's going to be the greatest example of a nation that knew the truth so intimately yet turned its back. And then third and finally, the third name is the abominations of the earth. In other words, all of the detestable practices that absolutely are an abomination according to the to God, this particular this prostitute, this identity who makes up the prostitute will actually be practicing, and will be absolutely not just practicing it, but celebrating it and doubling down in its brazenness. So I think it's interesting. I think it's really, really interesting when you look at all those particular verses in regard to prostitution and harlotry, because and with what happened in September 11, I believe, Vincent, was really a glimpse. It was a glimpse. It was a future. It was a warning, really. God was delivering America a great warning to say, listen, if you don't repent, the next time I bring my judgment, it won't be just two buildings that will fall down. You know, it'll be an entire city. And I think that we need to hold to that warning very, very sincerely and soberly.
Well, absolutely. I just love the way that you navigated through all those passages of scripture it absolutely creates the reality, the truth of what we're dealing with today. And what I kept seeing as you were talking was that witch with her cauldron pot and her stirring stick, and she's stirring, creating a potion. She sends forth her potion as a spell to cover the minds of the masses, to cover. And that's what that word sorceress means, to cover. She covers with her spell the minds of the masses. And what she has released into the atmosphere is this coronavirus. And tomorrow it may be another potion. Again, it's all the propaganda. And who is helping her? Her sons, the seed of the adulteress, the seed of the sorceress, the seed of the whore. And that's what we're seeing today. And this big battle's going on. Daniel, I had a dream about 7 months ago. And I think I told you this last time you were on the air. And we were hoping it was a nightmare. I had a dream. And I shared it with a lot of people. Joe Biden won the election in 2020. And when I was in the dream, I saw him win the election. And he looked like the most terrified, concerned man you've ever seen in your life. Like he just inherited the whirlwind. I don't understand it. I hope it's a nightmare, but I'm shocked today that he's winning the way he is. He looks like he's going to be the Democratic forerunner. He's the candidate. So I don't know exactly how deep mysteries witchcraft goes, but there is a tremendous amount of trickery and witchcraft and wizardry going on in the world today at a rate of speed that I don't think anybody has ever known before. And the deception is getting so darker that people will not be able to kind of lift their head above it any longer. They're going to drown in the darkness. So the most important thing right now is to know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit so that you'll be able to be free from this spell of Jezebel and all this witchcraft that's going on around the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and remember, you see this constant theme in Revelation where it says, come out from her. Do not take any part in her sins. You know, in other words, God is pleading with his people to leave and to separate yourself from this particular system. And again, you know, we find it here in Jeremiah 51, verse 6, it says, flee from Babylon. Run for your lives. Do not be destroyed because of the sins. I mean, this completely matches up with Revelation 17 and 18. And then it goes on to say, for it is time for the Lord's vengeance. He will repay her for what she deserves. And then it says this, Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. Okay. And again, this plays into the whole narrative of the prostitute in the sense that, you know, Israel was pure before the Lord, but then she became a harlot. You know, America was pure before the Lord, but then she became a harlot. In both those instances, they were gold cups in the Lord's hand. And then, but then it says this, Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. She made the whole earth drunk. Oh boy. What an incredible matchup with Revelation 17. It says the nations drank her wine and therefore they have now gone mad. Babylon will suddenly fall and be broken. Wail over her. Get balm for her pain. Perhaps she can be healed. So it is interesting. It really is interesting when you look at the many, many, many. Look at this in verse 13. It says, you who live by many waters and are rich in treasures, your end has come. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you just read in Revelation 17, and it talks about the woman who sits by many waters. You know, I mean, it's just extraordinary when you look at just how close these two scriptures play off each other. These two chapters interlink with each other. It says, you who live by many waters and are rich in treasures, your end has come. The time for you to be destroyed, for the Lord Almighty has sworn by himself. He says, I will surely fill you with troops as with a swarm of locusts, and they will shout in triumph over you. That's just incredible. This is incredible. And by the way, what was another, what's another thing? I mean, this particular identity of this harlot is the, you know, Mystery Babylon the Great. What was another trait about Babylon back in those days? Well, one of the unmistakable trait of Babylon back in those days with the ancient kingdom of Babylon was the fact that pretty much the entire world was a part of that kingdom. In fact, there were people from all over the known world, tribes and tongues, that were all part of Babylon. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And when you consider 5G towers being built all over the world right now for the purpose of interconnectedness, you know, the whole idea of 5G towers, which may be the real deal, the coronavirus is the magician's trick, but the 5G towers, Daniel, what we're hearing right now about 5G towers is that you will no longer even need to carry your telephone into the Kentucky Fried Chicken place to order your Kentucky Fried Chicken. I hope you don't, but if you do, so be it. So you go into Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're immediately recognized through facial recognition and cameras. They put up over 1 billion 5G towers throughout China, and they're building them in the United States and around the world everywhere. So facial recognition, voice, you know how everybody says, hey, Siri. It's voice recognition as well. So by voice recognition, which they're getting the system primed by knowing your voice, your algorithm, they know all about every individual because it's been recorded. It's been being put into the system. So through facial recognition, you'll be known. By your voice, you'll be known. Everything will pop up. You'll say, I want 2 pieces of chicken, and you won't even have to give them any money. It's going to come right out of an account. 5G is absolutely beyond anything we have ever even dreamed possible. But I want to go back to something for just a moment, because something happens, and this was interesting. The very day before any talk of coronavirus was mentioned, the day before, God gave us this scripture. And I just want to read it one more time so that we could be equipped and prepared. And it's, I'm just going to read out of Isaiah 47:11. You could do the homework. It says, therefore, and this is all about Mystery Babylon, by the way. This is the daughter of Babylon, verse 1, for example. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover the locks, and it goes on. And then in verse 11, it says, therefore shall evil come upon you. You shall not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you will not know. You know, I read that the day before the coronavirus came out. God gave that scripture that something was coming. You're not going to know where it's coming from. You're not going to be able to put it off when it arrives. It's going to be terrible mischief, and it's going to be a devastation. And I wonder, are we looking at the fulfillment of this scripture? Because, you know, this is all connecting. This is all connecting. The potion, the spell of mystery is going all over the world right now. The mad scientists are bringing out everything they've been working for. 2020 is the unveiling, remember? This is the time where they're going to pull back the curtain. 50 years of experimentation, 60 years of experimentation. How do we lasso the world? How do we control it? Well, now we need to reduce the population. Let's get rid of the elderly. Let's get rid of the infirm. Let's send some viruses forward. Daniel, I'm not making this stuff up. It just seems to be very consistent with the Word of God.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else that was that's pretty interesting. Let me read to you an actual headline, and this is coming from Britain. This is from the UK. Okay, it says this, and this is from the Times, which is one of the leading newspapers in Britain. It says, this piece says, a coronavirus can trigger a new industrial revolution. It says, this disease could be the shock we need to harness new technology and new ways of working. And this guy says, don't take this the wrong way, but if you were a young, hardline environmentalist looking for the ultimate weapon against climate change, you could hardly design anything better than the coronavirus. Unlike most other such diseases, it kills mostly the old, who, let's face it, are more likely to be climate skeptics. It spares the young. Most of all, it stymies the forces that have been generating greenhouse gases for decades. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Say, could you read it one more time? Just one more time.
Okay. Oh, actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this from the actual article.
Okay. Yeah, that what was just said is so powerful because it's within context of what the Bible is saying. What the Holy Spirit is wanting to communicate to us today to understand what's going on. And if we don't have the spirit of truth and Jesus Christ is not the Lord of our lives and we're not operating within the context of that truth, you know, to hear the word and not do the word, you deceive yourself, right? So we need to be operating in the truth to avoid what is being poured out over the nations right now. Mysteries spell. Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay, so the article, the title is The Coronavirus Can Trigger a New Industrial Revolution. In fact, I think industrial is not the word. If they were honest, they would put socialist there. It really should, the heading really should be Coronavirus Can Trigger a New Socialist Revolution, because that's really what they want to say. It says the disease could be the shock that we need to harness new technology and new ways of working. So this fellow says, don't take this the wrong way, but if you were a young, hardline environmentalist looking for the ultimate weapon against climate change, you could hardly design anything better than the coronavirus. Unlike most other such diseases, it kills mostly the old, who, let's face it, are more likely to be climate skeptics. It spares the young. Most of all, it stymies the forces that have been generating greenhouse gases for decades. Deadly enough to terrify, containable enough that aggressive quarantine measures can prevent it from spreading. The rational response for any country determined to prevent loss of life is to follow China's lead and lock down their economy to stem its spread. So, you know, that's just a little bit of an intro, but I just thought, wow, how brazen can one be to actually suggest that the coronavirus is a good thing because it's going to get rid of old people who tend to be conservatives, and it will favor the young who, and by the way, Vincent, more and more young people are actually favoring socialism as more and more young people are being brainwashed in schools and universities. So these people have seen the coronavirus as a wonderful tool for their movement, for their cause, for their agenda. And I just think, wow, isn't it? My word.
It's absolutely maddening. You're right. You're absolutely right about it. And it is go ahead, finish your thought. I think I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say that I think it really is a dream thing for the left, and this really comes back to, I guess, we were talking previously before about the in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, how we were reading about the restrainer. The restrainer, and how it says that until he who has been holding him back has been taken out of the way, and then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. In fact, I think I'll read it here, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow by the breath of his mouth and destroyed by the splendor of his coming. So who is holding back this man of lawlessness? And I think one of the most clear-cut examples that we see, and remember, Paul is always referring to Scripture, okay? In almost all cases, he's always referring to Scripture. Even, by the way, when he talked about the being caught up into the air, Paul said, according to the Lord's own word. In other words, he was referring to the teaching of Jesus in regard to that. So anyway, in regard to this restrainer, I believe that he was referring to Daniel, because in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time when the power of the holy people has been finally broken. All these things will be completed. Now, what is it that the left are working towards? They really, and this is part of the reason why they're so big on euthanasia and why they're so excited about the coronavirus killing off the old. Because they are trying to destroy the holy people, the people who hold the balance, who are basically holding back this so-called global socialist revolution. Because once the godly people are removed, then the left will have their way and they can anoint their leader to lead the world, who I believe will be the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. So it's, yeah, extraordinary times we're living in, Vincent.
Well, they certainly are. And I was thinking a couple of things going out there right now. You go back to Nazi Germany. You go back to Nazi Germany, and what did you have? Mm-hmm. The final solution, right? To kill all the Jews, wipe them off the face of the earth. But the first one to go were the elderly and the sick. Elderly and the sick. So today we ask the question, are concentration camps on the way? And maybe they're going to call these concentration camps quarantine facilities, where they're going to be shutting down major populations. Look at Italy right now. I mean, Daniel, 14 days to go to Israel, 14 days of quarantine before he could enter in or out. Look what's happening to the world right now. You can't tell me this is not one of mysteries moves towards globalization, population reduction. And I just think we need to become aware, not fear, but aware of what is being practiced right now, because major witchcraft is being practiced today. But I see the similarities of Nazi Germany. How about you?
I do. In fact, you know, it's really funny, Vincent. I was just about to post a quote on the Cultural War Resource Facebook page, and it's a quote by F.A. Hayek, you know, Friedrich Hayek, who wrote The Road to Serfdom. And he said this. He said, "Emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of individual liberty have been eroded."
Amazing. Amazing. They call that the Hegelian dialectic, or, you know, opportunity in the midst of a crisis, right?
Yes.
You know, create a crisis, have the solution already in mind, cause the people to come alongside of what you're thinking, produce that solution. Everybody hails you a hero and you save the day, but you've also conquered the people to some degree. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, let me just read to you just New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has just declared a state of emergency. And it says here, look at this. This is from the New York Post. It says Cuomo wins bid to expand emergency powers for the coronavirus. It says Governor Cuomo scored a dramatic expansion of his emergency powers that left even top Democrats wary, thanks to provisions tucked inside of a hastily drafted $40 million spending bill to fight the COVID-19 coronavirus. It says the legislation expanded Cuomo's powers to declare an emergency and even suspend laws, state or local laws, in their entirety with little oversight from lawmakers. There you go, right there.
My God. My God. Daniel, you know how you know when you're coming under the spell of Jezebel? When a conversation like this, which is not a fear-mongering, you haven't heard a sense of that. There's nothing of that involved. But the reality of what's going on in our world today, and the truth comes in like a dawning light, and all of a sudden you find yourself going, well, I don't really want to think that way. I don't want to believe that. I'm going to tune that out, and I'm going to, you know, just continue on in the way things are. And so what does the foolish man do? The wise man foresees the storm and prepares himself. The foolish man walks on and is destroyed. Twice it says that in the book of Proverbs. And so the delusion, the deception, which Jesus said in the last days, the number one thing of the last days is deception. And we've got a satanic priesthood operating in the earth. They're called the sons of the sorceress. They are the seed of the adulterer and the whore. They are operating the echelons of power, controlling, manipulating. They've been doing it a long time, but now 2020 is their unveiling. And up comes the 5G towers. Now comes population reduction. How do we control the world? How do we bring it all online? Daniel, this is biblically accurate.
It is biblically accurate. And by the way, what was one of the hallmark things carried out by pagan civilizations? Well, it was child sacrifice. But here's the thing. Here's the kicker, Vincent. Why did they carry out these child sacrifices? Well, for the most part, they were fertility rites, and they were doing it to influence the weather. What is it that the people in our pagan civilization are trying to do right now? They're trying to influence the weather, and they are pushing child sacrifice as one of the key strategies in regard to that. So there is nothing new under the sun, Vincent.
No, there's not. And yet there is a divine solution for God's people today. There is a Psalm 91 promise, which is connected to 100 other verses of new covenant promises for God's people. But Daniel, you know, before I go there, because there has to be a solution from the kingdom of God. There is a supernatural protection for God's people. But I was watching a show called 93 Days. It was about the Ebola virus that happened in Nigeria. And I happen to believe that the Nigerian people are some of the most beautiful people on the face of this earth. I really saw something beautiful about these people. But Ebola was a major threat in 2014, and they got hold of it. but it was a warning of the spreading of a virus that would come. These previews, these warnings that we see all around us, you know, they've only been foretelling us of what is really to come, and we've got to be prepared and get ourselves in a spirit of faith to receive the covenant promises of God that belong to us. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, you know, the blood of the covenant, the Passover is upon us. You know what we woke up to today here in Northwest Arkansas, Daniel? We woke up to the sound of hail. A hailstorm swept through Bella Vista. And it was pounding the house. And we went outside and we gathered. It looked like the size of a marble, maybe a little bit bigger than a marble. And this hail was just plundering. I thought, my God, this is just like Passover 3,500 years ago. The hail is coming. We've seen the viruses here. We've seen so many different things lining up with this biblical famines, locust invasions. I mean, so many things globally are happening at the same time, kind of representative of what God did to the Egyptian Empire. Maybe God's people right now need to be awakened and prepared to go into the wilderness. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think what we saw happen in ancient Egypt is going to be very, very reminiscent. In fact, I would even say is even a blueprint in regard to what we are to expect in these last days. And by the way, with fresh eyes, I reread Psalm 91, just in light of everything that's been happening in regard to the coronavirus. And I tell you what, Vincent, when I read Psalm 91, I am now convinced that Psalm 91 is a psalm for God's people to read during the tribulation. I think it really is. I think when you read it, it's just what you would imagine that would all the things that would actually happen during the tribulation. For example, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midnight. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now, Vincent, you mentioned Egypt with what happened to with the Passover story. I think, Vincent, that really is a clear-cut blueprint of what we are to expect in the last days. It will basically be the Passover story all over again, except it won't be Pharaoh, it will be the Antichrist. But here's the thing, we will basically, let me clarify this, because when I say that Christians are going to be protected in these places, not all Christians, let me just make that very, very clear. Some Christians will actually be martyred, okay? Because we know that in Daniel it says that that the righteous will be handed over to the Antichrist, okay? The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. Some will be executed. Some will wear the martyr's crown, where others will be fleeing, okay, all over the world preaching the gospel. That's why Jesus said, "But this kingdom shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come." But there'll be others that will actually be in refuge, okay? And we read that, we see that again in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, when Jesus is actually talking to the church in Philadelphia, he says that, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is about to come upon the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." So I believe that there will be Christians that will be part of these so-called Goshens, as we see and saw in the land of Israel. But all over the world, God is going to protect his remnant. He will protect his people, just as what we saw in the Exodus story.
Amen. Daniel, believe it or not, we're down to 30 seconds, man. And I've got to get running right now. I'm going to be on Kerm Radio. I want to you from the air today. I think we're going to see an uptick, and may God bless you. You're calling all the way in from Australia, man. People need to find your stuff. They need to find it, and they go to Daniel Secomb, S-E-C-O-M-B. He's all over the world. Make sure you find Daniel Secomb. We're down to just a few minutes, brother. I've got to run. Today we're going to be on, and you be well, you and your family. Take care over there, okay?
Will do, brother. Love you heaps.
All right. Shalom. All right. I'm going to be on KURM Radio. That's KURM.net in 1 hour, AM, FM radio. Hopefully we'll see you there. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go right now. OmegaRadio.org, a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. Shalom, everybody, and God bless.